everyone. Did you come expecting great things from God today? I know I did. Why don't you stand up and let's just go into a little bit of time of praise and worship.
Come, let us worship our King. And come, let us bow. What our Savior has done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great. Have done great things.
Has God done great things for you? If so, let's just give Him some praise and thank Him for all that He's done.
For He's been faithful through every storm, and He'll be faithful forevermore. He has done great things, and I know You will do it again, for Your promise. Yes and amen, You will do great things. Oh God, You do great things. Oh hero of heaven, You conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain, oh God. You have done great things. We dance in Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God, You have done great things.
Thank You, Father, for all the great things that You have done and the things that You're going to do in this church. Father, we come expecting wonderful things and great things and mighty and awesome things to be done here today.
And hallelujah, God, above it all, have done great things. Oh God, You do great things.
How many of you, the Lord has done great things for you? Amen? Amen. Would you lift your hands to the Lord? Say, Lord, You are good. Say, Lord, You are good. Lord, You are good. Lord, You've done great, great things in our lives. Lord, we praise You. We thank You this morning, Lord, that You are the King of Kings and You are the Lord of Lords. We praise You this morning because, Lord, You've come into this place to meet us here. Lord, we praise You today, Lord, as we lift up Your name and worship, as we lift up our needs to You and we place them at Your feet. Lord, we pray right now that You would just be in this place. Lord, that You would speak to Your people today, Lord. We praise You and we praise You for all of the great things that You have done in our lives. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen, amen. You can be seated this morning in the house of the Lord. Amen, amen, and amen. Awesome. I want to say welcome to everyone this morning. Thanks for being here. Saw some familiar faces, saw some faces I haven't seen in a while. Got to hug a few necks that I haven't got to hug in a while. And so thankful for that. And but if you're a first-time guest, if you just you've come to join us, first of all, thanks for coming. Thanks for coming to hang out with us and be a part of our worship service today. We hope that the Lord blesses you and speaks to you and challenges you, and that you leave here changed and different than when you came, maybe with burdens lifted and hearts filled. But this morning, if this is your first time here, would you reach in the seat back in front of you and grab a visitor card? And just fill that out, and our offering bags are going to go by in just a little bit, and you'll be able to place it in there. Gives us a record of your attendance, helps us to be able to just send you a welcome letter and say, hey, thanks for coming to visit with us, and that would be really helpful for us. So thanks again for being here, and welcome. Did you grab a bulletin this morning? If you grabbed, there's lots of announcements. Right in the middle is all the missionaries, and Pastor will be talking about that, all the missionaries, and we are starting our missions convention this morning, and so you can see all the different families and missionary units that we support. And the Lord has just really put his hand of blessing upon us as we've really succeeded in that area. And but what I want to share with you is this, that tonight is our men's night out. We're going to be going to Chicken and Pickle, which is on the north side of Oklahoma City. We're leaving here at 4 o'clock. We're going to take the vans, church vans. If we need more than one, we'll take two. And we're going to be there from about 5 to 7. Come back. We'll be here back here about 8 o'clock. All I need for you right now to do, if you're going to go, is sign up so that we can expect you and know that you're on your way. And so we kind of have a number. We've reserved some table areas. We've reserved two different pickleball courts. If you've never played pickleball, it's really easy to pick up. But if you don't want to play, that's okay too. You can just come hang out and eat and make fun of Pastor Steve and I as we attempt to play pickleball tonight. And Pastor Steve's been in really intense training. And I saw him. He walked almost around the block, almost. He got halfway, came back. And so he's ready to go on pickleball. But anyway, we want you to be a night. And then in just a couple of weeks on Sunday night, ladies, it'll be your turn, all right? Us guys will stay home. We'll watch the kids. We'll behave ourselves mostly. And you guys are headed out to Cheesecake Factory. And I got to be honest with you. After I saw where the ladies' event was, I was like, why did we plan like something that involved exercise and they're getting cheesecake? So we need to do better planning, guys. But girls' night out at the Cheesecake Factory, and it says here, building friendships one piece of cake at a time, and that spoke to me. So my wife has assured me that I was staying home with the kids, and but we'd love for you to go, ladies, 18 and over, sign up, and on the sheet so we kind of know, so Kelly knows how many of you are going to go, and you guys will have a great time that night. Also, the Eden Clinic is having a big event on Tuesday, October 11th. You can see the information in there. If you're interested in going, please see Pastor Steve as far as that goes. And then coming up in October, we're giving plenty of time for people to sign up. We have our water baptism service. Come on, let's give a hand for that. Amen, 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 amen. We want to encourage those of you who have not been baptized in water to follow through with the step of obedience. The scripture talks about us being baptized in water. It's not what saves us, but it certainly is what reaffirms what God has done in us to those in the church and to our church family. And so we ask that you would do, if you've never been baptized, sign up. And all the information is right here. So I ask the ushers to come as we receive of the tithe and offering this morning. Let's give a hand for that. Amen, amen. And as they come, let me just say we had a wonderful time at Connect Groups this last Sunday night. 82 people in attendance. We're really shooting for 100. And so we've got one of our groups that didn't meet last time, so that will help with that. And our ladies group will be meeting this next time. And so we want you to be a part of those Connect groups. Wonderful times. And they're still wide open. The sign-ups are on the table back there. Feel free to sign up and be a part of one of these groups. And I know you will not regret it. So let's pray over the tithe and offering this morning. Lord, we thank you once again for all you've given us. We thank you for the opportunity to give back. And Lord, we pray right now that you would multiply it, further the kingdom. May more people know about you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Once the offering bag passes, if you'll stand, we're going to go back into worship.
It was my cross you bore, so I could live in the freedom you died for. And now my life is yours.
rise, and I will sing of your goodness forevermore, and worthy is your name, Jesus. You deserve the praise. Worthy is your name, and worthy is your name.
Oh, your mercy never fails me. all my days. I've been held in your hands from the moment that I wake up until I lay my head. Oh, I will sing of the goodness. Close like no other. Oh, I've known you as a father. Oh, I've known you as a friend. And I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. Yes, you have, God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Come on, let's lift our hands and our voices to the Lord and give him praise this morning.
Hallelujah, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, you've been faithful. Lord, you've been good. God, you have met us every step of the way. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for your presence that goes before us, that rests upon us, that leads us, that empowers us. Holy Spirit, thank you. Hallelujah. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord, today. Thank you for speaking to us through the gifts of the Spirit this morning, reminding us, Lord, that you are just a moment away. You are just a voice away, a word away. You are right here to meet every need, to touch hearts, to change lives, to change families, to change situations, to change even the course of this country. We praise you, God. We acknowledge you in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we do pray for Owen Manning this morning in the hospital. I pray that you would touch him. Heal his body, Lord, from the infection. We thank you that Troy Haney is with us this morning. We know he's recovering from heart surgery. Lord, just continue to be with Troy. We pray for Rick Rounds this morning, Lord, as he needs your healing touch. We know, Lord, what the doctors have said, but Lord, we trust in the great physician today to touch Brother Rick. We continue to pray for our musician, Zach. We pray that you would just touch him and heal him today. We pray for Ray Chambers. He's been in the hospital this week. Touch Ray, Lord. Heal his body. And Lord, we pray for the former worship leader at Brownsville Assembly of God in Pensacola, Florida, Lyndall Cooley. We know, Lord, that you are bigger than the procedure and the problem he's having with his heart today. As churches all over are praying for him and are thankful for the ministry that he has provided through the last 20 plus years, we just pray that you touch him today, Lord. Touch this nation. Touch each and every one of us, Lord, this morning. Bless our missionaries as we're in this missions convention starting today. We pray for the 73 missionaries and missions projects listed in our bulletin this morning that we get to support every month. We pray for each one of them, Lord, and we're thankful to have one with us this morning in this service. We pray for Kirk and Carla Ford and their children, Lord, as they are on assignment by you. And I praise you and thank you that we can partner with them in the calling you've placed upon their lives. We love you, God, and we thank you for the opportunity to be alive in this hour, in this time, in this generation, to let our light shine, to let you flow through us to a world that needs hope, to a world that needs your grace and your love and your mercy. God, help us as the church here in Noble, and not just this church, all of our churches in Norman and Noble and Purcell and Slaughterville and more, and all of this central Oklahoma area, to make a great impact for your kingdom as we endeavor to shine as cities set upon a hill. We thank you, Father, for this day and for this hour. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing that chorus one more time. All my life you have been faithful.
All my life you have been so, so good. Every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
One more time, sing it, hallelujah. All my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Yes, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise this morning. We worship you, Lord. We worship you, Lord. We praise your name, God, today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. You may be seated this morning. Hallelujah. I echo Pastor Phil's words from earlier. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being here in the house of the Lord. We love and appreciate each one of you and those that are guests this morning. Thank you for being here. We are beginning our fall missions convention today. We do these twice a year, once in the spring, once in the fall. We bring in a concentration of missionaries and to let us know about what's happening in their respective fields and also to challenge us to continue to be involved in the work of the harvest, in the work of bringing people to Jesus Christ around the world. I am so thrilled to be a part of this church that believes in missions. As I mentioned in the prayer, we support 73 missionaries or missions projects in an ongoing way of $100 to $125 or $150 a month to the tune of about $7,500 a month that goes out of this body that you give and goes to support our missionaries. Our goal is one day to support every Oklahoma missionary. That's our goal. That's what we'd like to do as a church, is every missionary in Oklahoma district that's a part of the Assemblies of God, we want to support them. And I think that we are well on the way. We support over three-fourths of them now, probably more like 80%, as I get a list of all the missionaries from time to time, and I can just check off, well, we do that one, we support that one, we support that one, we support that. Not that one yet. I say yet. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for your vision. Thank you for your investment in souls. Heaven only knows the people that are going to come up to you in heaven one day and say, thank you, I wouldn't be here were it not for your prayers and your giving, that you sent a missionary to my country. I found Jesus. My family knows Jesus. We're all here today in heaven, and we say thank you. Amen? Praise God. Today, as I said, we're beginning our missions convention. We'll conclude it next Sunday with Aaron and Krista Bruton, who are with the Live Dead Ministries. And they'll say more about what that means when they're here next week. But the card that's in your bulletin, take it home with you and pray over it. Say, Lord, what would you give through me over the next 6 months to missions? What would you have me to do? I believe the Lord is thrilled when we come to him in that way. And we ask him, Lord, don't let me write down what I think I can do. Let me write down as a goal, as a pledge, what you can give through me over the next 6 months. How many of you know that's a pretty sure way to be blessed by the Lord? The Lord will bless you as what he can get through you. And he will make a difference in the lives of so many. Today we are happy to have Kirk and Carla Ford with us and their family. Although it's Kirk this morning, I'll let him tell you why Carla's not here. He already told me I could tell you, but I'll let him tell you. And so we've supported the Fords many years. I don't even know how many. Actually, I think we started supporting both of them when they were still single. We supported Kirk on the one hand, and we supported Carla, whose name was Carla Isom at the time. And they got married, and now they've joined forces. And for the last, how many years y'all been married, Kirk? Oh, I put him on the spot. Uh-oh. Well, a while. 13 years. For the last, so we've supported them at least 13 years, and before that, 13 years they've joined forces, and together they make up the team that God is using tremendously. So help me give a warm welcome to Kirk Ford.
Sounds great. Thank you so much for having me here today. It is such a privilege to be in Noble Assembly of God today. It's like coming home again. Someone asked me what was, maybe they didn't ask me, maybe it was just my thought, my thinking. But the biggest shock coming back here, usually in Europe, your portion size was very small. You come back here and you have muy grande porciones, great big portions. It's been the opposite this time. I think the portions are smaller here than they were there when we were in Europe. But it is always a privilege to be back in the States, to come around and to share with everyone in and share with churches exactly what God has been doing and what we're believing Him to do in our lives. We are very, very happy to be here. Can you go ahead and bring up that first slide, please? If you would like to have updates from us and you would like to follow our ministry, you are welcome to scan this QR code right here. It will take you straight to a sign-up page where you will be able to sign up for our newsletters. And that, with that, you'll get prayer updates. You'll get updates on the ministry, what God's doing, where we're at, and so forth. So if you'd like to sign up for it, you are more than welcome. We would welcome you to follow us and to be a part of what God is doing in the country or in the on the continent of Europe. I mentioned that we're very grateful to be here. We weren't sure how that was going to happen at one point. We started leaving Madrid, Spain on June the 21st. We showed up about noon at the airport, as you usually do, with our 15 bags. How many others have 15 bags when you show up at the airports? Am I the only one? Okay. Well, we showed up with our 15 bags. We got them checked in. We went through. We had lunch. We were great on time. We got back to the gate to load, and the airline fed us another lunch. How many of you know that when the airline feeds a lunch, that's usually not a good sign? And it was not a good sign. It seemed like there was this emergency light that was out. And they were going to have to order it from London because they didn't have one anywhere else around. So they sent us to go collect our 15 bags. They took us down to a hotel. They put us up for the night. They fed us dinner. Next morning, we got back up with our 15 bags. We checked them back in at the airport. And one side of the airport was saying, the plane's not going to go. And the other side of the airport was saying, yes, it is going to go. It kind of found out that it was the maintenance and the pilot that were kind of having this discussion. The pilot was saying it's not going to work. This light's not going to fit. And the maintenance person was saying, yes, it is going to fit. So I was just imagining this man out there with this little hammer and duct tape pounding this little light in there saying, this is going to fit one way or another. What? Evidently, the duct tape didn't hold because we were sent to collect our bags again. And we were in Madrid another 2 days. And we finally got to the United States on Friday the 24th about midnight. So it took us about 3.5 days to finally get here. But we are grateful to be here. My wife and kids are at the church in the bridge. My son is being baptized next Saturday. Since we travel on Sundays, they are opening it up on Saturday for him to be baptized by his grandfather, Ken Isom. And today is their baptism class. So he is going through that this morning. And so that is why they are not here. But my wife sends her greetings. And she is very sad that she had to miss coming here. But at the same time, we're rejoicing that my son has made the decision to follow Jesus Christ as his Lord and Savior. Today, I want to share with you a journey that we were on over the last 4 years. And when I say a journey, it was one that I think shook us every way but loose. And it's a journey that I've come to call Confessions of a Dreamer. And if you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to Genesis chapter number 37, verses number 5 through 11. And it should be up here on the screen as well. Move this around here so I can see. There we go. If there's anyone in the Bible that I think of when I think of dreamers, I think of Joseph. Joseph was a dreamer. He got a dream at a young age, 17. And he got to see it fulfilled. It took about 13 years, but Joseph was a dreamer. So let's look at our scripture here. Verse number 5 says, Joseph had a dream. When he told it to the brothers, they hated him all the more. He said to them, listen to this dream I had. We were binding sheaves of grain out in the field when suddenly my sheaf rose and stood upright while your sheaves gathered around mine and bowed down to it. His brother said to him, do you intend to reign over us? Will you actually rule us? And they hated him all the more because of his dream and what he said. Verse number 9 says, then he had another dream. And he told it to his brothers. Listen, he said, I had another dream. And this time the sun and moon and 11 stars were bowing down to me. When he told his father as well as his father rebuked him and said, what is this dream you had? Will your mother and I and your brothers actually come and bow down to the ground before you? His brothers were jealous of him, but his father kept the matter in mind. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much for your presence and everything you've done already. Father, I ask for your anointing. Lord, I ask for your words, not mine. Lord, I ask God right now that you prepare hearts for the seeds that you want to plant, for what you want to do in this service, Lord. Lord, I yield and I invite you into the remainder of this service and into this word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Over the last 8 years, the previous 8 years, anyways, prior to us going to Spain, we were living what we were calling a God-sized dream. Now, if you ask what is a God-sized dream is something that if God and his provisions and his power don't show up, it's not going to work. It's things that bring light against darkness and push back. It's things that take 100% of you and it takes 100% of God. It's things that push you beyond your comfort zone into a realm of an unknown. And without God and without God's intervention, it's not going to work. We were working in this God-sized dream and we were excited because God was doing miraculous things. He had called us to plant a media ministry in Siberia, Russia. And as we were doing it, it was interesting because we didn't know anything about media ministry at that point. We had never picked up a professional camera. And yet, God, in all his resources, he was able to lead us to the direction that he could train us in the things that we needed to be trained in, and enough that we were able to train others, and we were able to turn it over and to a group of congregants, a group of young people that would carry on the ministry from there on. And if that wasn't enough, God led us to build a studio on top of that. Now, I had never built anything in my life that was square. If you've ever built a building, a non-square building will not stand. And so I'm like, God, I cannot do this. Not only can I not do this, I can't even pay for this. How in the world is this going to happen? And God had led me to go 30 days off of all social media at one point because social media had become my reliance. I was determined to make this happen because God said it was going to happen, so I was going to make it happen. How many others try to do that? God said it's going to happen, so we try to make it happen. And so that was my reliance, and I began to reach out to everyone that I could. And during that time, that 30 days, I just kind of focused on God and what he wanted to do. And at the end of that 30 days, we had this check come in from a small church in northeastern Oklahoma. And as Carla read the letter to me, she shared with me the amount. It was the amount that we needed for the initial lumber to begin the building of the studio. Not only did he do that, but then he brought a team together who came in, actually from the bridge. They brought this big team over, and they left with the studio 60% completely finished in a week's time. They worked like dogs from 6 in the morning to 6 at night. In Siberia, the sun's not up that long, so they never got to see the sun the entire time they were there. But God did it. He brought it together. He did all that, and so we were excited about this new chapter that God was leading us into as the doors in Russia was closing. He was leading us into work with International Media Ministries in Madrid, Spain. And so we could just imagine the things that God was about to do through this. And we landed in Spain in May of 2018. Now, the first thing that I want to share with you, my first confession of a dreamer, is probably not going to happen the way that you have it pictured in your mind. In Genesis, the chapter 37, God spoke to Joseph as a young boy through a dream and a vision regarding his future. And Joseph didn't understand the full meaning, but he knew that it was significant. And shortly after sharing his dream, he found himself in a pit, sold to Ishmaelites, put in slavery, put in a jail, before he ever saw God's promise come to pass. Psalms 105, verse number 18, 19 says, they bruised his feet with shackles, his neck was put in iron, till what he foretold came to pass, till the word of the Lord proved him true. Joseph knew that God had a great destiny for his life, but I'm almost 100% positive, this is not the way he had it planned out in his mind. He had not planned on going through all this. And in the same way, we hadn't exactly planned God's dream the way that it happened either. After landing in Spain in May of 2018, we were in a month in temporary housing before God miraculously provided us a house. There was a landlord named Christina and Safa, and Christina woke up in the middle of the night. They had planned to sell the house, and Christina woke up, I guess it was in the middle of the night or in the morning, and told her husband, said, I don't think we should sell the house. I think we should rent it to this couple. They didn't know us from Adam at that point. But she said, I feel like we should rent it to this couple. Not only rent it to them, but rent it to them for less than what we could actually get. And so we were excited because God had already begun working. He had provided us a house. Glory to God. We were right there within 5-minute walk of IMM. How much better could you get started? We got moved into the house, and 2 days later, my wife was putting the kids down for siesta. Now, who knows what siesta is? A few of you do. We're in Spain. Siesta is serious business. It's from 2 to 5. To be exact, our hairdresser wouldn't even take an appointment after 1:30 because she wanted to make sure she got home in time for siesta. Now, siesta is great, but then you have to come back at 5 o'clock and work the other 3 hours that you slept. So it bites you anyway. But my wife was putting my kids down for siesta, and we just got my daughter a toddler bed, and a toddler bunk bed. And if you've ever seen a toddler bunk bed, it stands about a meter high. It's not real high. The Spain bedrooms are really small, and so the idea is, hey, she can play under it and sleep on top of it, and then she has extra room to play. We don't have something else taking up room. And so my wife agreed with me, and when we got it in, and had just got it in that day and got it put together, and when my wife was putting my kids down for siesta, my daughter got up on the bed, and my wife said, okay, all right, I think you'll be okay. You can go ahead and lay down up there for this time because your bed's brand new. She wanted to try it out. So So she let her lay down up there, and my son came in to ask a question. And when he did, my wife turned around and asked her to see what my son needed. And in the time that she turned around to look, my daughter had went from a laying position to sitting up on the rail to falling off onto a hard floor, fracturing her skull and breaking a bone in her ear. We had been in country all of 2 months. You know how much Spanish we knew? Yo quiero Taco Bell. That was about it. But here we were. My daughter's bleeding out of her ear. And we've got to rush to a hospital. And we got to a university hospital. And I watched this team of doctors gather around my daughter as they were putting in IVs and trying to check her out and then running CAT scans and seeing exactly what was going on. And they were concerned enough. They said, we don't have the facilities to handle her here. We need to send her to downtown Madrid to this hospital of children, Jesus, of the children of Jesus. Sorry, I'm having to translate it in my mind right now at the same time. And so they sent her down there, and they wouldn't even let Carla or I go with her in the ambulance. We had to drive separately. And so they sent her down there, and we were spent all night in a neurological intensive care unit for kids. And as we sat there, we began questioning what in the world's going on. We just got here, and here we are already with my daughter hurt, and we can't understand really what anyone else is saying and what they're doing and what they're wanting us to do. But the next morning, the doctor came in, and she, thank God, spoke English. And so she shared with us that their biggest concern during the night was, I believe it's called a hematoma. If you're medical in here, please correct me later if I'm wrong. Basically bleeding on the brain. They were concerned about this, and she said, that's no longer a concern. Said, it seems that the tubes that your daughter had put in her ears a year earlier provided an exit point where the blood could come out, where the hematoma is no longer a problem. Can I tell you, when God something, he does something right. A year prior to when my daughter ever fell, God was already preparing her for the healing. Can I tell you, whenever God calls you and asks you to do something, he will provide a way, he will make a way, and he will make it happen for you. It may not look the way that you have it planned, but I can guarantee you it will work out exactly as God has it planned. Confession number two is this. Doing God's will your way is not the same as doing God's will his way. Go ahead and bring up that next slide. This kind of illustrates that point. Sometimes we miss the point. When God gives us a vision, he gives us a dream, it can be like a shot of adrenaline. And we can map it all out in our head exactly how it should work in each step and the whole way. God's going, nope, no, that's not what I had in mind at all. And we fail to see the roadblocks and the detours and the things that are going to happen as part of a way of shaping us and preparing us and molding us for the place that God has to go. Can I tell you, Joseph's entire time in the jail, in the slavery, God was preparing him to move him to the palace. And can I tell you today, everything you go through, God will not let it waste. He will use it to prepare you, to shape you, to mold you for the ministry that he has for you. He wants to move you from the jail to the palace. He's just asking you to be obedient and do things his way, not our way. You're one of the best things that probably ever happened to me is is this plan that I set and wrote out with some coaching to plant a church there in Spain. And you say, wait a minute, how did you get from media ministry to planting a church? Well, Remember I told you about my daughter falling? And then 2 months later, I passed out on set and was diagnosed with tachycardia. And in the next 2 years, basically, we were in and out of the hospital, or in and out of the hospitals and the clinics so much that we actually jokingly said that we were going to start a hospital ministry from the inside out. Now, how many of you know if you're starting a hospital ministry from the inside out, you're spending a lot of time with the doctors? Has a lot of time. And so through all that and everything that we dealt with in Russia, we came to a point in February of 2020 that our area director said, okay, you guys have been through too much. Both of you are dealing with burnout. We need you both to go on a sabbatical for a while. Now, if you don't know what a sabbatical is, I like to call it a timeout. For a minister or a missionary to go on a sabbatical is like putting a child in timeout. You're trying to figure out what the word you're going to do the entire time. But during that time, our sabbatical began on our March 1st of 2020. We didn't realize that 2 weeks later, the entire world was going to go on sabbatical with us. But during that time, God began preparing me and shaping what he had for me in the future. And I can tell you that the one thing that I did not want to be a part of was a church plant, because I didn't see myself as a preacher. I'm not a preacher. So that's someone else's job. I'm a strategist. I can plant ministries, but to actually get up and preach every week, that's not me. I can't do that, God. That's not who I am. God had led me into getting my coaching certifications, and he began using that as a way of healing me and preparing me for what he had. And when he laid it upon our heart to plant a church there in Spain, we had visited with the pastors of International Church Madrid, and they had wanted to plant a daughter church out in our area, an area called Alcalá de Henares. Alcalá de Henares is home to a man by the name of Miguel Cervantes. Miguel Cervantes wrote Don Quixote. If you've ever heard of Don Quixote, he was the writer of that. And every year they give an award that's the equivalent of a Nobel Peace Prize for literary work, and it's called the Cervantes. The king comes out and presents it. It's a big deal, and it's right there in that area. And so we had visited with the pastors, and they'd shared that they wanted to plant this church, and we'd agreed, okay, I think this is the direction that God's leading us. And 2 months later, the pastor left on a medical emergency, and 2 months after that, he, via video post, he announced, and I guess he made phone calls to the rest of us, he announced that he was resigning the church. And so we were left there, what in the world are we going to do? We're supposed to be planting this church, and I've got coaching credentials, and I'm being told that I can't use them, and here we are, and we want to plant this church, and now the pastor here, the new pastor, no longer wants to plant this church. How in the world are we going to go forward from this? And what we found was that we didn't have the answers. We didn't know. So we talked with our area director, and we began to share with him kind of what our heart was, and how my heart was to plant, was to coach church planters, and how our heart was to be a part of a church plant. And he said, well, they don't want a church plant there. I said, well, what about another church plant? He said, they're all full. I said, well, is there anything you can do? He said, yeah, you can go back and serve at that church. And we just felt like, no, that's not exactly what God wants us to do. He's wanting us to be involved in a church plant, but everyone's telling us that we can't do it. So we flew out in the end of June out of Spain, not having a clue what in the world we were going to do in the next term. The first month of itineration was the most humbling experience we've ever been through in our entire lives. We'd be asked by pastors, and as I was trying to book services, I would be asked, what are you guys planning on doing? We'd say, I don't know. If you've got a word for us, let us know. But I don't have a clue. See, because my plan, the way I had it worked out, the book that I'd written out, because I'd written out a plan from building a team all the way through planting the church, it wasn't working because it didn't work, because it wasn't God's plan. I'd taken ownership of God's dream instead of being a steward of God's dream. See, when we take ownership, things don't work exactly like we had it planned. It doesn't work exactly as we have it pictured in our mind. See, because God's way is different from our way. About a month after getting here, we went and met with Gary Davidson. And if you don't know Gary, he's the Oklahoma District Missions Director. And when we came in there, he asked, okay, what's going on? What do you guys want to do? And at that point, we had a little glimpse, and we said, you know, we feel like we want to go plant a church in the UK, in England to be more specific. He said, okay, I think we can deal with that. And said, and to be exact, we feel like we want to do it with this other couple. But the problem was the other couple didn't know what they were doing, and at that point, they felt like they were going to plant a church in Oklahoma City. And so how all this was going to come together, we didn't have a single clue. And so we left that office that day. It was a little bit of hope, but we still didn't have an idea of how in the world it was going to go forward. The next day, Chris went in there, and he had a meeting with Gary. And after his meeting, I wrote him and said, how'd the meeting go? He said, we need to talk. I said, what do you mean we need to talk? He said, we need to talk. 30 minutes to Starbucks. I'll meet you there. Now, whenever he said that, honestly, it felt a lot like when my wife says, we need to talk. That's usually not a good sign. The thoughts were going through my mind. What did I say? How did I say it? What did I get him in trouble? Did I say more than I should have? But I said, okay, all right, I'll meet you down there in 30 minutes. So I met him down there in 30 minutes, and we sat down outside, and he just kind of relaxed in his chair, and he looked at me and said, I think we're going to plant a church in England. See, we didn't know how it was going to happen. We didn't know how things were going to come together. The whole time God was orchestrating his plan. He was putting together something special, something that we had never even planned on. We had planned on planting a church in Spain, not in the UK, not in England. We were going to plant a church in Spain, and we sure were going to plant a church with Chris. But God, in all his wisdom, he knew exactly what we needed at the moment that we needed it. And he brought this team together, and he's bringing it together. We just need to pray that God will remove the rest of the obstacles that we can go ahead and go forward together. But God's plan, when we take it, his plan, his way, we will see it with his provisions, and his power will go with it. When we do it our way and our provisions, it doesn't work real well. But if we trust God and the way that he wants to do things, we'll see awesome things come about. The third confession is this. Go ahead. There we go. When all else fails, trust. Trust that he who began a good work in you is faithful. Trust in the dream that God's placed inside your heart, in the word that he's given you. Hang on to it regardless of if you're in the jail or if you're in the pit or if you're in a caravan. Know which direction that you're headed. Know that God's right there beside you, and God's driving that caravan, and he's taking it to the direction that he needs you to go. It may not be the same direction that you feel like you need to go, but can I tell you, God knows exactly where he's going, because he wants to take you from the jail to the palace. He just needs you to trust him long enough to do it. Can I reassure you that God has a plan, and his provisions are made for your dream. He has a path that's made to get you to where he wants you to be. Trust God that is able to use those circumstances and those things that you do, that you go through, as stepping stones to prepare you for what he has for you. Because trust him, he's moving you closer and closer to the palace. He's just asking you, are you willing to just step out and trust me? I never know how this message is going to go, and I never know exactly how it's going to end. But I think here's what I want to do. If I could get someone to come up here, not just one person,
please. This is kind of the direction I feel God's leading. When we were in the airport, the second day when our flight was canceled, my wife was in complete distress. She was talking to anyone who would talk to her on the phone, and she was in tears. And I have a picture of her laying on the floor with her hand over her head and just not sure how in the world that she can go forward. She's not understanding where God is in the middle of this. Here we are, we're trying to get home, and yet we're stuck in this airport. And she doesn't understand it. I didn't understand it. I was on the phone with American Airlines. And if you've ever been on the phone with the airlines, you know that you're on hold quite a bit. And so I was on hold with them, and I'd be back on them, and I'd be on hold with them, and then our phone dropped because we were supposed to have left the country the day before, and our phone plans ran out. And so we were left with no phone, no way to communicate. My wife and I had two kids. I had a wife that was completely in distress. We had 15 bags together, and we had to find our way back to the hotel again. As I was on the phone, on hold, I was praying and I was asking God, where in the world are you in the middle of this? God, we're trying to get home and we're trying to itinerate and we're trying, we've done everything we can to bring you glory here, and we've done everything that you've asked us to do, and we just want to get home. Where in the world are you? This lady came back there to the gate because most everyone else had left. And she said, are you guys the missionaries? I said, yeah, that's us. She said, can I give your kids some candy? I said, sure, just keep them quiet, whatever, I don't care, because I was still trying to talk to American Airlines at the time. And after my connection dropped, I went over and talked to her, and she said, you know, I'm a Christian, and I just feel like I want to give you this. And she gave us a love offering, and it helped us through the next couple of days. And she said, I once attended Owosso First Assembly. I now live in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. See, God took someone from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and put them in an airport in Madrid, Spain, just to let me know that he was right there beside me. He had never left me. He had never forsaken me. And can I tell you, when you ask God, where in the world are you in the midst of this? Where in the world are you in the midst of everything I'm going through? He will bring an answer. He will show you where he is, because he's right there. He's driving the caravan. He's right there beside you in the pit. He's right there beside you in the jail. And can I tell you, my God is going to take you to where he wants you to go. If God can take a lady from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and put her in an airport in Madrid just to let me know that he loves me and he's there for me, what's impossible? What's impossible for him? And what can he do for you? So here's what I want to do with every eye bowed, or every eye closed, every head bowed. I just want to ask a couple questions. We're not going to go very far with this. I had one specific one, but I never want to enter a church service or leave a church service without at least giving the opportunity for someone to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Maybe as I've been sharing these stories and sharing how God showed up for me, maybe you've never had that. Maybe you've been through literal hell on earth and you've been had to go through it on your own and just your family, and you didn't have God to rely on. You didn't have someone that you could say, where are you in the middle of this? And he would show up in a way that you didn't expect. If you're in here and you say, yeah, that's me. Today, I need to know him as Lord and Savior.
Today, I need someone that I can rely on. I need someone that I can trust. I need someone that will be there for me through thick and thin. I need someone who will guide me on my path. Today, I want to make Jesus Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to slip a hand up and write back down. We're not going to go any further than that. Is there anyone in here say, yeah, that's me? Just slip a hand up and write back down. Anyone at all? Okay, we're going to go forward then. There's two things that I feel like God's got in my heart, and one really heavy. I feel like maybe why I was sharing that God was calling someone in here. I don't know exactly what he's calling you to. I don't know if it's into a ministry in the church. I don't know if it's as a ministry outside the church. I don't know if it's as a missionary. I don't know. But I just know I felt deep earlier, and right now I feel a deep conviction to ask. If you're in here and you say, I feel like God's calling me right now, and I want to surrender that call. I want to surrender my entire self to his service and his work, because I know that he's good and there's nothing that's impossible with him. If you're in here and you say, yeah, that's me, just slip a hand up and write back down. We're not going to go any further than that. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Say, yeah, that's me. That's me. Slip a hand up and just write back down. Anyone else in here say, yeah, that's me. Right now, I feel like God's calling me to maybe go to the mission field, to maybe do a ministry in the church, to maybe do something that's beyond your comfort zone, something that you've never done before. That's you. Just slip a hand up and write back down. Okay, here's the last question. Maybe you're in here and you feel like God's given you a God-sized dream. You feel like you want to be a part of something bigger than yourself. Maybe God hasn't given you the dream yet, but you're feeling something within yourself that, yeah, this is something that I want to be a part of. I want to be a part of something bigger than myself. I want to be a part of something that if God doesn't show up, it's not going to work. I want to put myself out there on the water and trust him for each and every step. If that's you, I'm just going to ask you to slip a hand up and write back down. This is my last question. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else who says, yeah, that's me. That's me. I want to be a part of something bigger. I want to be a part of a God-sized dream. Is there anyone else who says, yeah, that's me. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else who says, yeah, that's me. Today's the day that I go out beyond my comfort zone. Today's the day that I step out on the water. Thank you. Is there anyone else who says, today is the day that I give my entire self and trust God to take care of it. Thank you. Is there anyone else that says, yeah, that's me? Thank you. Is there anyone else that says, that's me? That's me. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Thank you. Is there anyone else? Is there anyone else? Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I believe three chords are stronger than one. And this is a little bit different, but I'm going to ask every person in here that raised their hand for one reason or another to stand to their feet. I want everyone else to keep their eyes closed and their head bowed. But if you raise your hand, I'm going to ask you to stand right now. There's a reason for it. Is there anyone else that maybe you didn't raise your hand and you feel like right now you need to stand up? I'm going to give you the opportunity right now. Is there anyone else? He says, yeah, I need to stand. Thank you. Anyone else? I'm going to move on. I'm going to give about 5 seconds. I'm going to move on. Anyone else want to stand? Okay. Here's what I want to do. Everyone, it's eyes bowed and heads bowed, eyes closed. I want you to look up. I want you to find someone that's standing.
And I want you to go begin praying with them. And I want you to go begin believing with them for the dream that God is giving them. And I want you to go begin standing with them so they know that it doesn't matter the dream that God's given. It doesn't matter how big it is. They've got a church and they've got people behind them that will stand with them, that will pray with them, that will believe with them for the things that God wants to do for them. There's a couple right back here. Can I get someone to go pray with them? There's a lady right back here and over here. Can I get someone to go pray with them, please? I've got a lady right back here. Can I go get someone to go pray with her, please? Okay. Anyone else? Father, thank you. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, God, Lord, that you don't need us, God, Lord, but you desire to work in us and through us. God, Lord, you know how imperfect we are and how difficult things are to turn over to you and to completely let go. God, Lord, I ask right now, Lord, for your divine presence and your divine spirit to be upon each and every one of these that raise their hand, the ones that raise their hand that's being called, Lord Jesus, Lord, those that have stood up, God, Lord, as one to be a part of something bigger, one to be a part of a God-sized dream. God, Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, that you will give them a spiritual hug right now, Lord. Lord, God, that they will know where you are, that they will know that you're in the middle of this, that you will be with them, that you will be driving the caravan, that you'll be standing with them. And then, although it may not look perfect, it may not look the way that we have it planned out in our mind, it will always work exactly how you have it pictured in your mind. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, for your provisions, Lord, for these dreams. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, that you will show them where you are in the middle of it. Lord, I ask you, God, Lord, that when the times get difficult, God, Lord, and they feel like they're beaten down, Father, Lord, that they can literally feel your Holy Spirit grab hold of their heart and just give them a big hug, Lord. Lord God, reassure them of where you are in the midst of this dream that you're giving them, in the midst of the calling that you put upon their life, in the midst of the trials that they may be going through, and just asking, where in the world are you? Lord, thank you that you have never failed us, that you have never went away from us, that you're always present, God. Can I reassure someone today that as you trust in God, as you believe for Him, in Him, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of what you're going through, God is going to make a way. God is making a way. He just needs you to completely trust in Him, in His plan, in His way, and to completely release all of your plans for Him. Lord, thank you for your plans. Thank you that they're perfect. Thank you that you provide in every way, shape, form, and fashion. And God, I give you all the praise and all the glory.
Extend your hands toward Brother Kirk and let's pray for God's blessing upon him and his family as they move forward. Lord, we've heard his heart this morning, Lord, concerning the calling you've placed upon him and his family and the twists and the turns involved in that. Father God, I just pray with him. We just pray with him this morning, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would continue to direct his steps, Lord. You said many are the plans of the righteous, but the Lord directs our steps. I pray that you continue to let your perfect will be done in his life, in his family, in his children, Lord, in the pursuit of planting a church, in the pursuit of doing the ministry you have called them to in whatever way, shape, or form that looks like. We just pray, God, that your will be done, that your kingdom come, and that you would move every mountain in the way, that you would cause your will and your plan to unfold right before them. Lord, they are choice servants. They listen and they look to you for every move. So, Father God, as a church, as a sending church of the Fords, we stand with them and we send them off to do the calling that you have placed upon their lives. Lord, bless them, we pray, with health, with finances, Lord, with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we just send them forth in your name. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. We're going to receive an offering for him this morning. If you're putting in an envelope, just put on there Ford, not Chevy, but Ford, F-O-R-D, fastest on road, first on race day, not found on road dead. Okay. Anyway, we want to support them today. You can make a check out to the church. We'll give them one church cash, whatever. You know the procedure. I don't even have to explain it. Father God, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to sow good seed in the soil of the Fords ministry. I pray that you continue to meet every need. Bless both gift and giver today in Jesus' name. Amen. Our worship team is going to sing another song as we receive the offering this morning.
You breathe and your light shines in. You speak and my fears grow dim. Every word burning deep within. And I am overwhelmed again.
Just worship the Lord as they sing this morning. Hallelujah.
Again. You never stop singing your love to me.
Hallelujah.
You never stop singing your love to me. For the rest of my days, let me ever be listening to your I love yous, 'cause I love you.
To your I love yous, 'cause I love you. Is a rushing wind. No voice could ever stand against. And you are strong, but it's effortless. And I am overwhelmed again. I am
the rest of my days, let me ever be listening
Lord, may we never stop listening. May we never stop responding to your word, to the voice of the Holy Spirit. May we always respond to you in your perfect will. Lead us, guide us, direct us. Lord, may your Spirit direct our steps, our thoughts. May we be blessed as we leave here today. Lord, lead us to someone that we can share your story with, the gospel with, that we can point to Jesus, that we can tell about the great plan that you have for their lives. Lord, give us divine appointments, we pray, as a church. As we go from the church gathered to the church scattered, Lord, may we not stop being the church. May we simply be the church in action all over the countryside as we disperse to our Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria. And we thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit goes with us. We look forward to seeing what you're going to do in each of our lives as we leave this place. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you this morning.